going to go ahead and roll into today's winner's press conference for the second annual Pocono Green 250 in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. And we're joined by our winning race team, led by driver Brad Keselowski of the number 22 SKF Ford for Team Penske, and crew chief Greg Irwin. Brad, winning all three stages today and an exciting finish with three really fast race cars. Please walk us through the finish from your perspective.
Yeah, what a day. You don't have any water or anything around here, do you? Hey, thank
Lee,
you.
Lee, coming at you.
Good
Great
work.
Catch.
Thank
That's
you.
Impressive.
That is teamwork.
Not only did you win your 35th NASCAR Xfinity Series race, you made one heck of a catch there.
Well, one heck of a throw. Thank you, Lee. So take you through. Okay. What is there to say? First off, we had a great car, which, of course, is always helpful. and there was, you know, good strategy and all that stuff. But and that kind of carried us through the first two stages. And then, of course, you saw the mix-up in the field in stage three, which I can't say was a surprise. We kind of knew that if we won stage two that we'd probably be in maybe not the best position for the start of the stage. So, you know, but you don't want to give those points up, and you don't want to give away running up front. In my heart, that's what the sport's about. It's about running up front and doing the best you can at all times. And in a lot of ways, that's what the stages do. They reward those who run up front and push hard all race. But then on the other side of it, there are guys that are obviously looking for the opportunity that stages provide to kind of play the leapfrog game, especially at tracks like Pocono, where you can pit under green and not lose a lap so close to the edge of a stage. And I think you saw a lot of teams take advantage of that. I thought that was a pretty smart move on their parts. And so as the race was kind of unfolding in that third stage, we just kind of were clawing through those guys that had that situation. And I got all the way up to the best car on that strategy. The double zero and the yellow came out. I thought, well, I'll be in good position here. But unfortunately, on the restart, I got a good push. But the push didn't stop when I got to the corner. And next thing I know, I found myself in the, you know, third lane in turn one, which is not a good place to be by any stretch. And that, of course, sent us to the back, and I thought, man, there's no way I'm going to be able to pass all these cars in 15 or so laps. And it kind of surprised me that we started clicking them off. A couple guys made a few mistakes. A couple guys I just caught at the right place, at the right, you know, perfect timing. And so it takes some of those breaks, obviously, and we caught them. And then I got to, I think it was the 7 and the 42, the two last cars with, you know, probably a half a dozen laps roughly to go. And I just was clawing, trying to get by them. And I got a little break on the 7 car who got loose in one, and that got me to the 42. And we were a little bit faster than Kyle Larson was, but he was just doing a really good job of holding a line that was taking all the air off my car. And, you know, these cars in clean air are a good half a second faster than they are in dirty air. So despite the speed we had in the car, Kyle did a great job of nullifying it with his driving technique and line, and I was just trying to push him as hard as I could and get him a little bit, you know, loose, and it worked off of one on the last lap. And from there, it was just a drag race down the long pond where we just inched in front of him at the right time. I felt very lucky to be able to do that. So, man, heck of a battle, heck of a finish. I don't know if it gets any better than that. But I was proud to be a part of it, and I'm really happy for this team to get back to victory lane.
Well, Greg, you know, you mentioned this team getting back to victory lane. The 22 team has worked long and hard to get back to this point. You know, a lot of strategies at play today, but nothing trumps overall speed, and it seemed like you had a really fast 22 hot rod to go out there.
Yeah, you know, first off, this team has been really close and been in position to win several races this year, and you know, for one reason or another, I haven't been able to get it done in the third stage, either with adjustments or strategy or what have you. So, you know, we're glad to get that monkey off our back. Really, the truth is we worked really hard to try and come here with a piece that, quite honestly, right off the truck on Friday morning, we knew that we were going to be in a situation speed-wise to run for the win. And then obviously you bring a special talent, put him behind the wheel, and he's proven his capabilities as a driver here. You know, both on the Cup side, and this is only the second Xfinity race here, so you know, everyone's building a notebook right now as to what to do with the Xfinity cars, and we had a good start last year. We kind of knew where we needed to be and where we needed to go to, and you know, our team back at the shop put that together. So I'm pretty complimentary to everybody in our program, and you know, honestly, I think we fell back to 13th after that mix-up down there in turn one, and I said, you know, golly, how many different ways can you lose a race this year? And you know, and then Joey Meyer gets on the radio, and he's a very calming influence. He's a very positive influence, and I know this guy has another gear when the chips are down, and he found it, and he brought the thing home. I feel like we had a little better car than the 42 all practice long yesterday, and you know, our group went to work last night. We made a few adjustments today that I think made it better, and I think it was pretty clear at the end of the race. So you know, thank you to you know, everyone that has supported us, and it was a good race. And quite honestly, at Pocono, we generally don't see those types of finishes with three cars, 1, 2, 3, side by side, 2 wide, 3 wide, like that at the end of the race. So, you know, the Xfinity boys are putting on a great show, and hopefully the fans got everything they paid for today. I think so.
An incredible finish indeed. We're going to go ahead and open the floor for questions. We'll start with Reed, go to Lee, then to Kyle.
Reed Spencer with NASCAR Wire Service. Brad, after you got shuffled back on that restart, what's your mindset at that point? I mean, I'm thinking particularly of the horns move you made between the 62 and the 20, where I think you actually bounced off of both yeah. cars. And
is there a replay of that one? I can't.
Yeah, coming back.
I cannot wait to watch the replay of this race. I mean, of course, there's the drivers in the booth thing, which ought to be hysterical on its own. But then it was a really fun finish to go with it, with a lot of things that, first off, I'm not sure I know everything that happened. And then second off, I think it's going to be cool to watch all the different moves that everybody was making. So, you know, if someone missed this race today, I feel bad for them because they missed a good one. I can't remember the question. I'm sorry. I was just trying to recover and get the best finish possible. And as doors started opening up, Lee, it became a real possibility of getting the win. You know, of course, you want to win, but I just wanted to get the best finish possible. And I caught, a couple breaks getting through traffic, made a couple breaks getting through traffic as well. That gave us a shot to really make it happen at the end.
Lee Spencer, Motorsport.com. Did Irwin bribe you since this is his home track?
No, he didn't. I honestly didn't know this was his home track.
Well, you're about an hour away? Grew up about an hour away from here?
Yeah, we don't talk about it, but yeah.
I always thought you were from, like, California or something.
No, little town down southeast of here.
Hatboro,
Pennsylvania.
He's so cool and relaxed. I thought he was from California.
Yeah.
Have you heard from Roger yet?
I don't know. I'm buried in messages, so my phone keeps dinging.
Can we just get last night out of the way? Because, I mean, obviously, any of us that were only watching it on TV clearly thought you won the race. Your team won the race.
Yeah. Same here. but we didn't. So, it was frustrating. Once I kind of saw the facts and our team was presenting the facts, it made a lot more sense. It's just unfortunate that those facts weren't available to everyone in the time waste of manners, but kind of is what it is. You know, you can't go back in time. You know, he's one of those guys that I look at and I go, wow. I wish I was as composed. I wish I was as talented as he is at his age. You never know with young drivers where they're going to go. I had the luxury this past Thursday of doing a charity event for my foundation. I sat next to Coach Jim Harbaugh, and we were telling this story about they're in the middle of their preseason spring training and so forth, and we're telling the story of, you know, athletes, and you never know really which ones are going to be great, but you think you know, and how sometimes you'll have a five-star, and if you look at the five-star recruits, a lot of them don't ever make it to the pros. And then you look at some of the guys that do make it to the pros that are, you know, maybe one star or no star at all in high school, and we're kind of talking through, you know, why that is. How does that happen? And, you know, I looked over at Coach and I said, you know, I'll still never forget when I was first getting started in racing, and there was this article that came out, and it was, you know, the top 50 prospects or, you know, something of that nature. And I didn't even make the list. And every year would go by, and I'd progress a little bit, and someone would fall off the map, and someone would fall off the map, until I won the championship, and no one else on that list did. And it felt pretty damn good. And I told him, the only thing I can tell you is, you know, young drivers, young athletes, young professionals, you know, they're dynamic. Who they are today is not who they're going to be tomorrow. And the ones that are able to grow, you know, building confidence, building skill set, and have the work ethic, passion, talent, et cetera, to do so, are the ones that make it. And so there are some guys that start off with loads of natural talent, but they don't have the other characteristics that you need to really grow on that and make something of it. Well, Chase, to me, is one of those guys who has loads of natural talent, but he also has the intangibles to grow with it, to take it to the next level, and to not just rest on his talents. And so to me, I look at him and I think he's a future Cup driver. That's what I see out of him. I hate to say that in the media because I want him to think he's a zero-star prospect. So he'll continue to work, and he still has a lot of work to do. But if he stays with his current attitude, in combination with his talent level that he starts off with, he has the opportunity to be a Cup-level driver in the next 2 or 3 years. So I'm really happy for him. I think Ford's got a good one through their, you know, driver development program to make something of.
Okay, go next to Kyle, then to Dominic.
Kyle Magg, the Times Leader. This is for Greg. Can you just talk about the progression of this 22 team in the last year, coming back to the team last August and having and really starting out with a new team this year, as Brad mentioned, in Atlanta. What's that been like for you to develop those guys and get them to where they were today?
Yeah, we kind of got caught off guard a little bit. You know, we got caught off guard with a 22 team. I'll be quite honest with you. I've been with it for, you know, a couple years now, on and off, in and out, in a managerial role and then a crew chief role and a managerial role. Really what's happened this year is we took a little bit different philosophy. There has been a huge rule change, and I don't think everybody really quite understands the impact of what NASCAR did to our cars in the off season, taking the spoiler out of them, taking the splitter out of them. A tremendous amount of downforce has come off of our cars. And then that combined with, you know, a pretty major shift in setup philosophy, you know, the travel's changed by an inch in the front end, so all the geometries had to change, the aero loads, everything is different. So we sort of took a clean notebook, sort of fresh sheet of paper approach to it going into, quite honestly, Atlanta. We knew Daytona was going to be a very similar program, but our first intermediate race this year, you know, I stood on the truck and kind of crossed my fingers like this. And when we came by the first few times and we were, you know, right near the top of the board, we knew, quite honestly, a lot of the things are guesses. A lot of things come from experience. A lot of things come from a little background testing. And I knew that we had a very solid, fast package right off at Atlanta. And we've carried that same philosophy, almost Barney Basic style, back to racing, and that's what we've done every race this year. And you know, it's kind of almost to really answer your question, we've injected about 4 to 5 people in this 9-person program, that have either never run a full Xfinity schedule, never run a full Cup schedule, and some of them have never won races. So we sort of mixed a whole new car, a whole new set of rules, and a whole new group of people to start this season. And you know, any other year in the old NASCAR points, we'd be walking around pretty proud, right? Because we've got a 80-point owner's lead, and a, you know, we've got all these second place finishes that I've been hearing about for the last 6 weeks. I'm kind of tired of talking about it. You'd feel pretty proud, right, to have 6 or 7 seconds and be leading the owner's points like we are, but truthfully, we know we have a little ace up our sleeve. With the driving talent we get to put in our cars every week between Brad, Joey, and Ryan, I mean, we've got cup caliber, championship cup caliber guys driving our cars every week. So we know we've got a little bit there on the field, quite honestly. But right now, to get these guys, a lot of these guys, their first win, and to finally get that monkey weight, whatever you want to call it, off our back, I think the sky's the limit for this program. You know, we'll go to Michigan, I guess, next week, and I think this guy's in the car again, and we'll double down in his home state is what we'd like to do. So that's pretty good. Yep.
We'll go to Dominic, then to Zach.
Dominic Aragon with the RacingExperts.com. For Brad, just want to ask you what the biggest lesson you learned today that you can apply towards tomorrow's race.
That's a good question. Probably about the stages. At some point tomorrow, someone's going to make a decision to throw away the second stage and get a bad finish in that stage to help advance themselves for next stage. So running up front is not going to be a guarantee of track position throughout the whole race. And at some point, no matter who you are and how, what you're doing, you're going to cycle to the middle of the pack at the very least because of the stages. So you know, you're going to have a lot of patience to endure going through that traffic and those scenarios.
Zach Sterniola with the Pocono Record. For you, Brad, to kind of follow up on that, starting sixth tomorrow, you have decent track position to start it. How important is track position going to be, and how much is that going to affect the kind of strategy that you use throughout the event?
Well, I think I know, but I'm not sure I know. The Xfinity cars today had a little bit of draft to them, which was good. I like that. But I'm not sure, you know, how do I explain this? Pocono, to my knowledge, is the longest straightaways we have on the circuit of a non-restrictor plate track. And it's usually that last, you know, 100 yards where the cars really draft. So we really haven't seen this configuration cup car on a track, well, at Pocono, in a traffic scenario. So it'll be. I'm very curious how well the cars draft. The ability for the cars to draft tomorrow is really going to dictate how important track position is. Because if you're able to get a small draft at the very end of the straightaway and I call it pop the bubble and get a little bit closer to that car in front of you, you know, you can create some aerodynamic effects that displace the advantage of a lead car. That's yet to be seen. We're going to learn together tomorrow because I don't know. But that's really going to be the key. So I don't have a great answer for you. We're going to find out.
You talk about the draft there. You also said earlier that you were kind of surprised that you started clicking off cars after getting shuffled out there. Did that draft help you get back through the field?
A little bit, yeah, absolutely. That's you know, important dynamic in the Xfinity Series, and part of the reason why I think these cars have the potential to put on great races on these bigger tracks. You know, I think looking back, you know, 20 years at races at tracks like this and mile and a half, that's really the big difference is the cars have lost the ability to draft at the cup level. Because that opens up so many boxes for the way you can break the track position stalemate. So it's interesting to see that work.
Go over here to Keith.
Brad, you seem to really get a kick out of Ryan Blaney interviewing you in Victory Lane there. You are,
it's a whole new world, I'll tell you what.
When you come in here, you always do a great job behind that microphone. Is that something that you'd like to try one day? And what role would you like to have in a drivers-only broadcast?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of drivers retiring right now that are going to beat me to the TV booth, and they probably aren't going to want me. So I've kind of wrote that off as supply and demand. There's a large supply, and there's probably not going to be a lot of demand by the time I get that far in my career. So. Who knows? Maybe that'll change. But right now, I'm happy being a race car driver.
Go to Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net and Performance Racing Network. You're known as one of the more cerebral guys in the garage. Last night with the crash, usually it's a splitter that digs in. Last night it was a tire.
Right.
Is there a compromise between splitters, tires, grass at tracks that is the right combination?
Yeah, I'm not certain I have the perfect answer, but it does seem like those tracks with the quad ovals struggle to get the infield level, and that, you know, gives you something to hook on, you know. But I haven't honestly spent enough time staring or watching or replaying the accident to really get a great feel for what happened or why that happened to give you a great answer.
Let's go to Chris.
Chris Knight, CatchFence.com. I hate to beat on the Truck Series questions, but last night, was the cause of concern for you being an owner and as successful as you made that program with what we've seen happen the last couple of weeks with Red Horse abruptly shutting down and being short, considerably short field last night in the Truck Series?
Yeah, it's not good. I don't think there's anybody cheering that, but there's always been an ebb and a flow to that series. You know, the NASCAR dynamic without franchises in any of the three series has always lended itself to, you know, owners that overspend, including myself, and make it to where it makes no sense financially to compete in the series, and it just comes down to a level of passion that, that the car owners have. So I think it's part of the ebb and flow, and it's probably on the downside, and I imagine it'll swing back up, you know, in the next few years. So I don't sweat it too much. Maybe I should. I don't know, but that's probably my thoughts right now.
Go to Scott.
Scott Walsh from the Scranton Times-Tribune. Brad, in the Cup Series, the last two races, through no fault of your own, you haven't run many laps because of, you know, being taken out early. How maybe tomorrow is, because of those last two races, it, crucial, you know, how key is tomorrow's race for you?
Well, you know, I really want to win tomorrow. That'd be great. I really want to have a great day tomorrow. Michigan's got really terrible garage areas. And the higher you are up in points, the better you can park in those terrible garage areas. So I'd like to make sure we get a good finish because we're really close in points to like three or four other cars and get a better garage area spot because it's my home track and it's kind of embarrassing to not be parked in a, you know, a good garage stall. But for my team, I'm looking forward to getting back on our feet. We've done everything within our power. And it's frustrating, but I've had a few people come up to me and say, you know, you've had a lot of bad luck in the playoffs the last, you know, three seasons, and you probably had a shot at winning the last three championships, and something bad has happened to you. So maybe it's good that it's all happening early in the season and it won't happen in the playoffs. So that was kind of good. That was inspiring. So that's kind of been my outlook and attitude, and it really hasn't got me down much because I feel pretty good about where we're at as a team.
Well, gentlemen, thanks for taking the time to join us today. Congratulations. And, Brad, good luck tomorrow.
Thank you. Yeah.